Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Quilted Bananas program on Wellington 106.1 FM. I'm your host this morning. My name's Creek. And we acknowledge the ahikaroa of Taranaki whānui ki te upoko o te ika. That's whose land we're broadcasting on. And we also reach, like in terms of on the literal airwaves, we reach as far as Ngāti Toa Rangatira's Rohe as well, which is up the Kapiti way. But you can also listen online. So whoever's Rohe you're in, you could be listening to us. You could even be listening to us from overseas. Amazing. Where are we on? We're on like accessradio.org.nz/Quilted Bananas program, something like that. Go to the Wellington Access Radio website, you'll find us. And that would also enable you to listen to the podcast. If you miss anything in this episode, you can play it back later, which is always handy. I'm often listening to the radio and then I tootle off and do something else and then I think I'll listen to that interview later. We do have an interview coming up today, but I'm doing the settle in blather just now, and we'll play a song soon when Debbie, my techie, gives me the thumbs up, which she has just done. And then we'll settle in and then we'll come back and we'll do an amazing interview. I'll tell you what it's going to be about so that you can get excited and stick with us. It's going to be about the Cahoots Workshop, which is a groundbreaking makerspace for women and gender diverse people here in Wellington. So like a men's shed, but for women and gender diverse people, so 10 times cooler. So that's going to be really exciting. But there's also money needed, so it's a fundraiser. You need to support it. I hope we will all get behind it. And anyway, let's have a song. I'll calm down. I'll lower my pitch by about a whole octave, and then we'll get going with the show. So the first song today is Stop Business As Usual by Kimmortal.
As usual, stop the genocide.
I don't want to write a record, I want to reflect the time.
Stop business as usual, stop the genocide.
I don't want to write a record, I want to reflect the time.
Stop business, 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 business.
I don't want to write a banger, I want to reflect the time. Stop business as usual, stop the genocide. It's land back from Philippines to Palestine. It's time to uprise till we're all free. Fuck individualism, this is collective wisdom. No more consumerism, tune into global rhythms. We make the revolution irresistible. Leaning on each other, holding them accountable. They don't give a fuck about us, but we will still talk shit. We designing graphics, we reciting telephone scripts. We got our receipts, local archivists. We flooding inbox, the mayor's office. We calling his shit, don't be complicit. We boost the info, and we been witness. We taking our lead from indigenous. We unstoppable, we won't say silent.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business as usual, stop the genocide.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business as usual, stop the genocide.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business as usual, stop the genocide.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Kafia's on the street, traffic blockage. A politician sips his cocktail and funds the rockets. We yelling ceasefire, your hands got blood in them. He licks his fingers, calls on his minions. They turning humans into robot cops. Slaves to empires, brains whitewashed. They put whiteness in religious laws. Gave them rights to enslave, mass graves, land theft, prison jobs.
Real love's in decolonization. Total liberation of our nation.
Stop the killings and the occupation. Change. Using radical imagination, together we're amazing.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business as usual, stop the genocide.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business, 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 business. Business, 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 business.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business as usual, stop the genocide.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business as usual, stop the genocide.
I don't wanna write a record, I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business as usual, stop the genocide.
I don't wanna write a record. record. I wanna reflect the time.
Stop business, 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 business.
I don't wanna write a banger. I wanna reflect the time. Stop business as usual. Stop the genocide. It's land back from Philippines to Palestine. It's time to uprise till we're all free. Fuck individualism. This is collective wisdom. No more consumerism. Tune into global rhythms. We make the revolution irresistible.
Leaning on each other. Hello. Hello. We're just fading out. Kamortle singing Stop Business As Usual because they actually started again. Debbie had it on repeat, which is no bad thing, but we can't have an hour of it because we've got other important things to talk about. Kamortle is a queer, non-binary, Pinoy-Canadian musician and is probably better to be Canadian at the moment than it is to be American. So good luck to you, Kamortle. Hope that you keep getting, like, keep having all your human rights. Well, we're aware of toxic positivity here on the Quilted Bananas program, but I feel that it's been a pretty bad month in terms of beat-ups on queer and trans people. So I would just like to acknowledge all of the things. It's quite challenging to acknowledge all of the things in detailed ways. And also, I don't want to be toxic positive, but we've got an hour. We must take up the space with some hope for things that are happening. And so, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I acknowledge if you are suffering or feeling frightened at the moment. It's not at all surprising. Shall we pivot to hope, though? Jade, what do you think about that? This is my guest, Jade. Hi, Jade.
Kia ora. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll join you on the pivot. toxic positivity. I mean, like, we'll get into some of the challenges that we face as well. But I'm Jade, she, her, and I founded Cahoots and now Cahoots Workshop, which is a Wellington-based nonprofit that is all about empowering women and gender diverse folks in kind of the practical world, trade space, DIY, all that kind of stuff.
Yay! That's really awesome. It's genuinely awesome.
I think so. I think this is really a hopeful thing. Like, we need to respond to outside pressures by, like, creating spaces in which we can thrive. And if we need to kind of wall ourselves off a little bit so that we can encourage each other and that we can support each other, then I think that's a thing that we just need to do right now. And we can get into the sort of history of the gender segregation that occurs in this space and how entrenched it is.
Well, I've got a press release here from you which mentions, and I'm doing a face which you can't see if you're listening, but it's
you're going for the statistic.
I'm doing the yikes face. Which mentions only... about the statistic, which mentions only 1% of plumbers in Aotearoa are women. I'll say that again. Only 1% of plumbers in Aotearoa are women. In construction, the number barely reaches 3%. Now, a groundbreaking new workshop space in central Pōneke aims to change that. So, can you tell us a bit about Cahoots Workshop? Where is it at right now? Because you're fundraising for it.
Yeah.
But it's beginning.
It physically exists.
Yeah.
We signed a lease, which is something that I pushed to get this project going, and then I signed the lease, and I'm like, whoa, I just signed a commercial lease for 2 years. Was that a smart move? I don't know. And so now we are fundraising to really make it a reality. So we're physically in the space. We got a big delivery of timber and things the other day to build out the space to do some of the construction that we need. And we're fundraising to pay for that fit out and to pay for tools and to get it off the ground.
My wife mentioned a dust extractor.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, you know, the health and safety stuff is kind of boring, right? But it's necessary.
Who loves inhaling dust? Not me.
Who loves inhaling dust? Right. Nobody. Dust masks, dust extractors, filters, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that kind of stuff which we just need money for. It's like it's all material stuff because the space and the project is getting the benefit of my labor free full time for about a year, which means that the $50,000 we're trying to raise is extremely cost effective.
Right.
If we were trying to pay for, like, my salary, if we were trying to pay for, there are other people volunteering, if we were trying to pay those salaries and things, you know, we'd be looking for $250,000 instead.
Right.
And so we're able to set up this space for what I think is a very modest $50,000. $50,000 is a lot of money.
It's modest though, in the context of fitting out something that's like a business. is a business?
Is a nonprofit, and we're undergoing charity registration.
Right.
We've been in the charity registration process for a bit, like having to tick a few boxes, and so that should happen in the next few months.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, cool. And can you tell us more about what a person such as myself, who's like a butch non-binary person, but I think I'm allowed to be there because it's women and gender diverse people.
And specifically in our like inclusivity document policy, we made sure to specify like trans men as well, because we don't want trans men to feel excluded in the space, which is a really easy thing to do.
Totally.
Because we're like, you know, women and gender diverse, and
trans men are men. However, if you've been assigned female and then you've been excluded from learning all kinds of
you
trades,
you have a different experience, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is more akin to the rest of that cohort.
Yeah.
Than it certainly is to a cisgender man.
Yeah, totally. It's like a constellation of stars. You're in that constellation if that's been your experience. Potentially, you don't need this space. Potentially, your dad has just raised you to be like a hammer-wielding, perfectly capable man. But if not, you might be like, hey, wow, I can learn the trades a bit later in life.
Yeah. We get so many people come in and say, you know, when I was a kid, the boys were taught this. Or I grew up on a farm and my brothers all learned to do this and I didn't. Or I'm thinking about when Julianne came in the other day. My granddad had a workshop and would take all the boys off, and the girls weren't invited. You know, and it's just like that's the experience.
Yeah, my dad took my brother camping, and I just threw so many tantrums. I did get taken camping in the end, but I really had to make a real fuss about it.
And that's camping.
Yeah, it's just
there's
camping.
Not even a tool
it's
involved
just learning,
necessarily.
It's, you got to use a rock to knock in the tent pegs.
Maybe a chainsaw, take down some trees.
No, we didn't take down any trees. Learned to cook beans in a tin.
There you go.
Like, over a fire. Yeah, cool. But so what are what would be the full range of the sorts of things you could learn to do in this makerspace?
That's a great question. Everything. I mean, that's not very realistic, maybe. The idea is to try and create a canvas that has a basic capacity to do pretty much everything, right? Like have a tool base that may not have every fancy woodworking tool, may not have every capacity within like a metalworking shop, but has like enough of both. What we're really trying to do is empower people to like go from a space where they feel excluded from shaping the physical world, right?
Yep.
To a space where they have some experience and some confidence and can sort of think through problems and work out how to shape the physical world. Because the physical world is shaped by 93% cisgendered men, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think this is a parallel statistic.
97.
I'm pretty sure there's a somewhat parallel statistic that they also own most of the physical world that's in private ownership or can be owned.
But I feel like I should
build
get
it
more
from
specific.
The ground up and then you own it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More specifically, like, yes, woodworky things, but I'm not thinking about people making fancy cabinetry, because that's not what we have sort of received from people who are interested and people who are sort of not quite members yet, because the membership doesn't quite exist yet, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Metalwork. So again, like not everything you'd find in a fancy metalworking shop, but like the ability to fabricate some things. Mm-hmm. We 3D printing some more modern stuff like that. Mm. So 3D printing, which then leads us into like design and like some basic engineering kind of thinking where you're thinking about physical and 3D design. Mm. What else? Whatever kind of tools we can buy, you know, that's where the gates kind of open.
Would there be, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're an electrician.
I'm not. I don't know how this rumor started.
How did this rumor start? That's because you're all associated with electric bike and electric trailer.
Yeah.
We're like, your trade is electricals.
There was a newsletter somewhere, I think, that called me an electrician, and it just kind of, I think it got into the popular consciousness.
Because my next question was going to be, if someone wanted to build a little thingy that had some kind of electronic component, like a light.
Yeah, we can definitely do electronics. There's some potential stuff around like what we can do, what we can show and things, a bit like repair cafes when it comes to working on sort of mains devices, but also like there's the whole world of low powered electronics, which we're quite well set up to do already because I've worked in that space in the past.
Right.
So that can be well, I mean, it can be sort of the work that I did on the trailer.
Yep.
But it can also be, you know, building some kind of cool light thing for a theatre production or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the kind of thing I was kind of thinking about, like, surely the kind of circuit board has a switch at one end and a light bulb at the other end is low intensity
run with that. Like, okay, what do you want it to do? Because, like, now it can respond to something. Like, it doesn't just have to be a switch. Like,
maybe it
can be controlled by music, or, like, it can respond to people walking past it, or I don't know. Like,
modern technology.
Grow those ideas.
Yeah, that's so cool. And do you think that there's a potential for this makerspace to be a launch pad for people to get really into something and then go to, like, a polytech and get an actual qualification and degree and start a career? That it's sort of a safe place to, yeah, just dip your toes in it, but even more than that, walk in some shallow water for a bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's exactly that. I think because our community, in that sort of messy way that we define it as kind of like women and gender diverse folks, have been excluded from this. They haven't grown up with these kind of skills. They haven't been taught by dad or uncle or someone else. Mm. It's exactly that. It's about elevating the general feeling of capableness, the general feeling of physical capableness within the community.
Mm.
You know, wouldn't it be great if all of the people in our community sort of felt like they could shape the physical world around them? Because that's how the cis men who grew up with it feel.
Yeah,
like,
oh, totally.
They can shape the world around them. Mm. And, like, we can't. And that's just not very fair. I mean, we get a lot of focus on, like, women in STEM, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's important. But women are doing quite well in STEM, certainly compared to this. It's not like, oh, there's only 3%, right? This is a space where we're hands-on, physical world, building and shaping it.
Yeah.
And so you can't just make polytech courses, like, try to advertise them to women or make them attractive and say, come and study, because the space that they are entering is so gendered.
Oh, yeah.
It's really difficult. Hard Obviously, out. Some women and gender diverse folks do it. Mm. I know women tradies. I know gender diverse tradies.
Mm.
They're really cool. They have pushed uphill a lot to get to where they are. And not everyone sort of is built that way.
No.
And so if we can elevate everyone, then it absolutely provides that. And we've got people who have explicitly stated that. People who've started apprenticeships and they've quit because it's toxic. They've quit because, you know, they felt so excluded.
Yeah.
And they want to come to the workshop to develop skills with the explicit plan of going back to doing
back
apprenticeship.
In.
So that's not just, it's not just something we hope, it's something that people are telling us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I can totally imagine it would, as you say, it would physically enable you to build the world around you, the space around you. That in itself is empowering, but also in terms of giving you confidence, just like psychological confidence and resilience to be in spaces where people are going to be making assumptions that you can't, and they're going to be, I guess, giving more attention to the people they think who can. It's about being able to take a bit of knock, like taking some knocks if you do go into those further, like, higher education, trade learning, or even just becoming a tradie, even in certain professional environments where you just need to be able to stand your ground and know that you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you roll into a training course with, you know, mostly cis men who have grown up being shown how to do things or doing things, you know, they've used a skill saw, they've used, you know, whatever. And if you've never picked up that tool, I talked to a woman who had was on a carpentry apprenticeship, and she had quit in the end. But when she was on it, every time she wanted to learn a new skill, she would go and she would use her own money to buy the tool that she wanted to learn, so she could practice at home before going in, so that she wasn't coming in cold. And that's just something that, like, it's tragic, but it's the sort of empowerment that we can do in the workshop.
That's amazing. And do you envision, or maybe you already have it all planned out, do you envision, like, short courses from sort of zero to, well, 100 is the natural conclusion of that expression, but from...
We can go further, go past 100.
Go past 100, from zero to 259, if that's where you want to get to. Or is it going to be on spec? Like people just sort of come in and go, I want to learn how to repair my own doodacky, or a combination of both with sort of different times and things scheduled for different kinds of learning?
Yeah, it's going to be a combination of both. Definitely going to have classes, courses that we teach. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely also going to have sort of office hours where people can come in and be like, I don't know how to do this thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Which is, I really look forward to. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How we exactly balance all of those things is a sort of work in progress, and how we make sure that we can fund ourselves but not exclude low-income earners. That's a thing that we can talk about. It's a thing that we're working on. It's a thing that is not necessarily solved, but we have a shape.
You already have some experience with sliding scale funding of things, don't you, through Kahoots? Before Kahoots Workshop. You have Kahoots, the business, which is on pause at the moment, so you can do the workshop, but tell us about that, would you please? If you want to. I can.
You're right that there is an element of the sort of, yes, we're very concerned with making sure we don't shut anyone out of the workshop. So the kind of sliding scale comes across to there, all the way down to nothing.
Yeah.
Kahoots is also, I mean, Kahoots is the nonprofit that is running Kahoots Workshop. So it's all one entity for all the legal nerds out there.
Hi, legal nerds.
It is, it's an LLC. It's a company, soon to be a charitable company, already has a nonprofit constitution. There you go, all the company nerds. And I started it a few years ago as a sort of queer tradie collective. That was the dream. The idea was to pull together a bunch of queer tradies, which really just meant me.
Yep.
And then the dream was more. and to do jobs and to do jobs. You know, we had a slew of things that we crammed into our comically long tagline to express what we did.
Yeah.
And I haven't reiterated it for a while because it's not front of mind, but let's see if I can do it. It's the Sliding Scale, Bike Powered, Queer and Trans Run, Practical Community Resilience and Repair Collective.
Yay!
It was supposed to be comic. So it's Sliding Scale, like you say, I can tell you about that. The other stuff's quicker though. So Bike Powered, that was a choice, which, you know, it's hard to be a bike powered tradie, I will tell you that.
Yep.
What was
As
the
in
other?
Physically Queer and Trans Run. On your legs, right?
Oh, and it's just like,
getting to jobs.
You know, you're in the rain, getting to jobs. You have to build a sort of first in the world bike trailer. And then obviously you built it from scratch with no plans because you designed it. And well, not with no plans, but you designed it. And then maybe it fails occasionally and you have to troubleshoot and fix it or build a new part or revise the plans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Difficult. But the sliding scale was really just about providing work for folks who struggle to afford work that they need done.
Yeah.
So our initial sort of basis for that was if you have a community services card, you get a half rate, which we subsidize by charging everyone who doesn't, all of the sort of homeowning richer folks, time and a half.
Yeah.
It was a simple sort of wealth transfer thing.
Yeah, cool.
So Kahoots was great.
Yeah.
Long live Kahoots.
Long live Kahoots.
But it is on pause because...
there's only one of you.
There's only one of me.
And right now you're focused on Kahoots Workshop. Could you clone yourself? Let's think about that. Well, actually, in modern era, yes, you could. But whatever your age now it's going to take you a while to catch that clone up to the right. And by the time that clone gets to your age, you'll almost
have children.
Retirement.
I don't want to. Yeah, just another child.
Yeah, just mold the child or children.
Mold the children.
Yeah.
We have one who is six who is. Will tell you that he's cis. We've had the conversation about, you know, how that might not always be how he sees himself, but he's a cis guy. And he's like, can I come to the workshop? So we've had these conversations. And like we've explicitly said that children under 14 are not included in that policy because of the idea is you can't really leave them at home.
No,
so we don't want to exclude people who are like solo parents or whatever. They can bring them in. And
you know, in the lesbian community, that's a long-standing prickle is that, you know, like, the lesbian community has a very big backlog history of exclusion. It's not just like the older lesbians only want to exclude trans women. Historically, there's also been like, let's exclude bisexual, exclude anyone who's ever had sex with a man, let's exclude children of lesbians. And then that's just like, hello?
Who are we helping?
Who are we helping? And also an ever-decreasing circle of people.
So obviously we've got, in our space, we've got to solve some problems around safety with that, like, and that kind of thing. But the children are not excluded by our policy until they reach 14. And so then Sam,
they can be at home
our
on their
6-year old, was just kind of, oh, okay, I can't come when I'm 14. And then we've talked a lot about discrimination and things, obviously. And so, and he got it. And I'm like, okay, if a 6-year old can get it, then we're good.
It? Yeah. Amazing. Should we have a little song? I've got a song. It's called Cowboys Are Frequently Secretly Fond of Each Other. This is by Orville Peck featuring Willie Nelson, and it was recorded last year. And after the song, I'll tell you a little fun fact about this song. But see if you listen to it and if you enjoy the lyrics and if you think about how modern they are. And maybe you already know it. Like, I'm not into country music. I just like this one song. No, plus Lucinda Williams is... entire catalogue, but see if you can guess what actually, this is a cover, see if you can guess what era this song actually comes from, what year it comes from. If you text in on 021-188-2679 and you correctly guess, which means you're not allowed to Google it or already know the answer, I will work out a way to get you an Easter egg, because today, I forgot to mention, is the day that Jesus came out. Thanks, Debbie.
Punchline.
Well, there's many a strange impulse out on the plains of West Texas. There's many a young boy who feels things he can't comprehend. And a small town don't like it when somebody falls between the sexes. No, a small town don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men.
And I believe to my soul that inside every man is the feminine. And inside every lady there's a deep manly voice, loud and clear. And a cowboy may brag about things that he's done with his women, but the ones who brag loudest are the ones that are most likely queer. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. What did you think all them saddles and boots was about? There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels for his brother.
And inside every cowboy there's a lady that loved to slip out. Somebody who says what the others just whisper. And mostly that someone's the first one to get shot down dead. But when you talk to a cowboy, don't treat him like he was a sister. You can't fuck with a lady that's sleeping in each cowboy's head.
Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. What did you think all them saddles and boots was about? There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels for his brother.
And inside every lady there's a cowboy who loved to come out.
And inside every cowboy there's a lady who loves to slip out.
That's my experience. Good morning. Welcome back. You're still listening to the Quilted Bananas program because we have a whole hour, here on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. I didn't check my phone to see if I got any texts. I did not get any texts because I probably read my number out quite quickly. But we're here with Jade from Cahoots and we are discussing the groundbreaking makerspace for women and gender diverse people in Wellington. Oh, I was going to tell you a little bit more about that song just quickly. Well, guess what? That song, Cowboys Are Frequently Secretly Fond of Each Other, was first recorded and published in 1982 by a person called Ned Sublett. So, yeah, it might feel like that song was really progressive and we've made heaps of progress, but as we were discussing before the show, progress seemingly is not linear. And we're back in 1982. But we might even be back behind 1982 on some fronts. I don't know. Some rights around the world are getting very rolled back. And people are just being erased. Like this week, intersex people and non-binary people just erased in some of the rhetoric around like defining women or defining pregnant people here in New Zealand, which is like hard. It's hard. It sucks to not exist when people are just talking about you like you don't exist. And yeah, can't go on too much about that because I promised we were doing a positive episode without doing toxic positivity, but we are doing hope. Let's pivot back
to... We can have a dash of toxic positivity.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to do some toxic positivity? Well, it doesn't have to be toxic. It just be like, hey, positive.
Oh, yeah, like I dream about a world where there's a backlash to the sort of hate and discrimination that's growing at the moment. And so actually in 5 or 10 years, we live in some kind of like gender utopia.
That would be so good. That would be so good.
It starts today.
Yeah. I, Mr. Pessimist, am not even going to comment on that. I'm just going to say that the utopia direction starts today with building Say that phrase again. I just want to get that into people's
minds. Which phrase?
The one where you're building the physical space around you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's in the press release. I talk about how cisgender men control the spaces and skills that construct the physical world around us.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't want that.
No.
So we want women and gender diverse folks to be able to have a space and learn the skills to shape the world around them.
It feels... Even just to hear that, it's such a physical way of expressing it. I can feel myself shaping my world and it feels good.
I think it's the thing when I look at mic stands or desks or chairs and things, because of my experience, because I sort of worked in the space and because I think practically about things through my experience, I think about how we can modify them, how we can change them, where we, you know, what we might need to do, how we can adjust the space, all of those kind of things. And that's not how most people in our community view the world because it's just kind of a mysterious grey shroud of, I don't know, which is a result of these years of misogyny, basically.
Totally. And there's something about being like ultra cerebral as well that is somewhat disembodying. Like it's all very well to be a full-on philosopher, but... I wonder about what your body is missing out on when you're spending that much time up in your head and in your mind and not like in your muscles or hammering things or holding things.
I really agree. I think that the reason that whenever we talk about this and we talk about this disparity, we lean on these trade stats is because those are the stats that we have. Mm-hmm. We don't have some kind of study into how women and gender diverse folks relate to the physical world and how cisgender men do. This is just indicative of that. And so we lean into these stats, we use those.
Yeah.
But I think that that's, we can get too much focus then on the trade space. And you're absolutely right. Like having the knowledge and the experience and the real time sort of doing things today where you pick something up and you use a tool, you do something physical, that can empower you greatly, even if you're not going to be in trades, right? Your day job is being a philosopher.
Yeah, totally. And physical memory as well, because then, well, it's like riding a bicycle, isn't it? You st- start to know how to do things without thinking, kind of. I mean, obviously it's always good to think about what you're doing. But
especially with power tools.
Especially with power tools. But probably, correct me if I'm wrong, there might be a point if you're really physically skilled with trades where it is your body is doing it without potentially too much thinking, as long as you're doing all the health and safety things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a groove that you get into.
That can be a dangerous thing.
Okay,
because that can be the moment when you then don't pay attention to health and safety, right? But there are a lot of times when that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And I think that part of health and safety understanding is not necessarily saying you can never listen to podcasts while you work.
No.
It's about saying you need to stop and think about the job you're doing and whether it's appropriate to. And I listen to podcasts while I'm doing a lot of things.
I'm just thinking about like sawing on a piece of wood. Once I get in the groove, if I'm sawing up some firewood, then once I get into the groove of that, I've already covered my health and safety bases, and it is just nice. It's a rhythm. It's like there's all these different rhythms for the body that people could be picking up that they're missing out on that are just like sweet rhythms. Nice.
Yeah. And you couple those then with the satisfaction of having achieved a thing.
Yeah.
Built a thing, changed a thing.
Sawed your own firewood. Yeah, cool. I'm also thinking about, I am a homeowner, but not an investor because
I
morally oppose it. But I mean, I will invest in Cahoots Workshop. I mean, I don't want to own the homes that other people live in. I do not want to. I like my home. Thank you very much. But yeah, that means that I've been in the position of hiring tradespeople, and it is quite impressive how bad some, I'm just going to say it, cis men can be. Like, it's not women and non-binary people who are bad at it. They'll come on and they'll be like, yeah, I can build a fence. And the fence is, at the base of the fence, it'd be like a half a handspan off the ground. And I'm like, my hen can get under there. The reason for the fence is to enclose my pets and that kind of thing. But they just come on and they're like, yo, my dad taught me how to use a saw once, so now I can do the thing. And I guess that there's probably an advantage of learning some of these things from a more conscious age, coming, say, over the age of 14, and also being taught to pay attention and take care and think about what you're doing every step of the way. So in a way, there must come a point where it's not actually a disadvantage, but potentially an advantage to be a woman or a gender diverse person, because you don't come in with a preconceived notion that you're the most able, capable person. So does that help with safety and also competence?
I think it's a mixed bag. It's complicated. The one thing is that of the tradies who are women, because they don't have stats for gender diverse, but of the tradies who are women, that's only that 3%, but they have 3 times less ACC claims per person than the men do. So in a report that was from BCITO, I think, it said, you know, women are a safer pair of hands. Different way of thinking. I mean, you know, gender essentialism.
Look, I've had some great cisgender men. Tradies.
You don't want to fence shame.
Okay,
anyone.
I'm not going to fence shame anyone. We actually got our neighbour, who was also a cis man, to like say to him, "Hey, what's this? This is not good enough. You have to take it down and start again."
Your neighbour.
Yeah, we did.
That in itself, right? That it's just like, okay, but if we empower you through building things and stuff, then in those interactions, presumably you'll have more confidence. We hope you will. And there's an interesting thing, like, where do we get the knowledge from? Because if we're a community that is so sort of poor in this knowledge because we haven't had it given to us intergenerationally, and we don't really want to go and be like, now, man, teach us these things. You know, get the cis man to come and teach us all these things because, well, he's not allowed into the workshop for one.
Yeah, not allowed yet.
And it's just, so that's a problem. And I think that some of what this feels like is kind of reclaiming knowledge. And it feels like we don't necessarily go and receive perfect knowledge because we don't have the right people to receive that from. And so I think a lot of mistakes will be made in the workshop. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really powerful. I think we will figure things out for ourselves to some degree. There are right ways and wrong ways to build a fence, but I would part of me would rather see women and gender diverse folks have a go, mess up the fence and learn and sort of acquire that knowledge themselves. And it has more value and more power than trying to go out to the sort of cis male establishment and ask them to bestow it upon us.
That's so cool. Yeah. And it's also science, isn't it? Because isn't there a thing in science where it's only through mistakes that you develop correct hypotheses?
Yeah.
It's only when things are not things.
Yeah, you test the negative.
You test the negative, yeah.
So I think, yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that people learn a lot more through making mistakes within safe, controlled environments. So, like, obviously we teach safety, and if we got some fancy tool in that was whiz-bang and could do all kinds of stuff, and the only person who could come and teach us how to use it safely was a cis man, then we're not going to use it dangerously, right? We're going to just... swallow our pride and like say, well, this is just the world that we live in and we have to do this. And so we get the guy and he teaches what to do and then we send him away again.
Yeah.
But if we can avoid that, if we can be much more reliant on each other and if we can make some mistakes, that's.
Cool. Hey, Jade, if I wanted to donate money to Kahoot's workshop, can you tell me slowly so that if I were at home with a pen.
With a pen. Or if I going even, straight to the website right now with a phone.
Yeah. Modern things. I've shown Jade my 2018 really basic phone. So I don't think in smartphone terms. But let's say you're at home and we've now given you enough blather time to either grab a pen or your smartphone. And you wanted to type in or write down an address for making donations to make Kahoot's workshop real. Well, it's already real. But to make it happen. Erasing the workshop. Workshop erasure here on the Quilted Bananas program. No, they've definitely got a pen now.
Yeah.
What would be the website?
The website is kahoots.nz.
Holy moly,
isn't that easy?
So easy.
And from there, there's links to the Pledge Me, which is what we're running now. We're trying to raise $50,000, which I've said a few times. Everyone, $50,000. We're at about $8,000. And at where we are in the journey, that's perfectly reasonable because most of the pledges come in the last sort of like week and a half. But if you don't have to wait until the last week and a half, it would be great if you could do it earlier because it makes me very anxious.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Anyone who's ever done a fundraising campaign online, the anxiety of waiting for last late minute people. It's real. It's really real.
And the deadline is the 16th of May at, I think, 10 p.m.
Okay.
Friday, the 16th of May. $50,000 by then, please.
What happens if you don't get the $50,000 by then? Don't even talk about it.
Well, so I said that Kahoot's workshop is getting my mahi free for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true, and I'm working it full time. If we don't, it depends where we come in, really. We've got a low budget, which is for $35,000. That's where the Pledge Me sort of minimum target is, which allows us to build the space out. But really, it's about how do we build the space out and make it really attractive to people? And that means that we need to have the cool tools and have the fun stuff. And if all of our money ends up just getting us to the point that we've built the space, but we can't put cool tools in it, that's harder to get people to come and do cool things.
Yeah.
What it really means is I have to go back out and do more client, like tradie client work in the rain. Sob story. Please don't send me back out in the rain. I have to go out and do more tradie client work because Kahoot's isn't paying me. If I do client work, that brings money into Kahoot's. That's money to fund the workshop. So I'm not getting paid this year, regardless of what happens. And it's just Kahoot's is in a better or worse position to fund the workshop. So we'll get there a lot quicker and we'll get there with better tools if we hit the 50. If we don't, it'll be a slower road and the place will be less cool. I really want us to have a CNC plasma cutter. That's one of the things that is like right on the list of like, I think it's going to make us a really empowered metalworking space.
Right.
And
to me, plasma is stuff that's in my blood.
But it's also like the glowy, like if you ionize gas, which is, I appreciate that I'm taking a sort of sciencey term and replacing it with another sciencey term. But if you put very high voltage across, like when you get a spark or like lightning, that's plasma. It's like all these air molecules that have had electrons like ripped off them and stuff. And they're all very angry.
Angry.
like lightning or sparks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so a plasma cutter kind of makes sparks between the tip of it and a sheet of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you blast like compressed air through that nozzle and through that jet of plasma.
Yeah.
And you can cut through metal, right? So you can take a... It's like science fiction.
It's like using lightning to cut things.
As we are using lightning to cut steel.
Amazing.
And yeah, the CNC one, like, you know, then it moves itself around. It's computer controlled. So you can design in your software, like a bracket, some kind of adaptive piece of steel that mm-hmm. goes from some section to some other section or whatever. We can cut it. And then we also, we have a welder. And we can cut lengths of standard steel stock. And so that's how I built basically the trailer, right? And so we can build really cool things in steel with just this basic set of tools. And the plasma cutter is one of them, but it's quite expensive. And we've got a little off topic, but that's one of the reasons we need $50,000.
No, it's totally off topic. I'm having my brainwave just in was, I wonder if ACC would fund Because women are a safer pair of hands. So by investing in Cahoots Workshop, they would save money on ACC claims by increasing the proportion of women doing the trades, women and non-binary people doing the trades. Also because something to do with, they owe women heaps of money because over the years, not just in ACC claims from tradies, but wider, they just haven't paid women for stuff like... They spent years and years not funding birthing injury things, and they've recently been made to do that, but then they're not going to backdate it. And also just overall, men make way more claims to ACC just overall. So
Women are a safer pair of hands in presumably in the home and in DIY as well as on like job sites in the trades.
Yeah.
I think we can extrapolate from they make less claims overall and the stats about the ACC claims for tradies. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just this 3% who'll be helping ACC, but all the women out there doing DIY.
That's right. ACC owes Cahoots Workshop money here on Quilted Bananas.
You heard it here first. I mean, we're not proud. We'll take money from almost anyone.
We will. We'll take money
not quite,
from anybody.
Almost.
Listen, let's go for another song and then we'll come back for just a little bit because we've got till 10:58 a.m. Yeah, cool. Well, we're going to have Song for a Future Generation by the B-52s. And I think the B-52s are underrated as a queer band. That is, they're not highly visible as a queer band. But actually 4/5 of the B-52s members are, they're a 5-piece band, by the way. That's not like, oh, they're a 15-piece, so now you have to do some math. It's just 4 out of 5 of the members of the B-52s are queer. And when you listen thoroughly to their music, which I certainly have, you start to see a pattern of like, why they never do kind of boy-girl romance songs. Why is that? It's because they're a secret queer band. They're playing on a lot of absurdity, which is part of kind of queer culture going back way ages and irreverence. And then occasionally they'll do like a kind of, I would call it a mock heterosexual song. It's innocent. They're not being like mean, but it's almost like queer people play it being straight people. And this song is like that. If you listen to the lyrics, they're just like, let's meet and have a baby now. And it's called Song for a Future Generation by the B-52s.
Chinese noodle. Wanna be first lady of infinity. movies. I love computers and hot tamales.
My name is Keith and I'm a Scorpio from Athens, GA, and I like to find the essence from within.
Welcome back to the Quilted Bananas program here on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. It's been noted here in the studio, it was noted that that song potentially started out quite loud in your ear. Debbie the techie advised that it is quite loud on the CD, because I'm a CD kind of guy. And so that was played off CD and it was really loud. And then Jade, my guest here in the studio, made the observation that that might have woken you up if you were currently asleep. And that means that now that you're back, it will be a good time to remind you of the website, Cahoots. And by the way, that's spelled CAHOOTS.NZ. I guess conceivably there's an alternative spelling of COHOOTS.
I mean, it's wrong, but yeah.
It's an alternative, but it would be wrong. But so, yeah, CAHOOTS.NZ. That's where you can find out everything about what we've been talking about on the show today, the amazing makerspace for women and gender diverse people that's going to be opening up. Am I erasing it? It's not open currently, is it?
It's not open to the public. It exists. If people are passing, it's listed in Google Maps. So we are at 11 Hopper Street. We're at Hopper Home, which used to have the little refillery shop and has Kibosh based out of there as well. If you're passing and you see the roller door up, come and say hi.
Yeah, come and say hi. Like, that is always helpful. If you want to support a thing, it's kind of helpful to go in and go like, whoa, this is amazing. Maybe I could donate a plasma cutter to this.
If anyone's got one kicking around.
Yeah. If you've got a plasma cutter kicking around.
You never know.
Sorry, Debbie's got the giggles now. But that's okay because Debbie's mic is off. And put it up, Debbie, and let us hear your giggles. And Jade also wanted to share the Instagram.
It's the same. It's cahoots.nz.
Yeah.
I mean, it's at cahoots.nz because that's Instagram. But that's where you can really see, keep tabs on what we're doing. I'm posting on there every couple of days. We've had visitors come in. We have visitors coming in. So there's little like little chats where we get well-known people to pitch the Cahoots workshop at you, the public. We've had like Julianne Genta was in. That was the last one I put up. I can't remember who was before her because that was the last one. Tori Fano is coming next week.
Cool. That's awesome. Cahoots.nz on Instagram. And I'm checking the time. Yeah, I've got 3 minutes. I do want to ask a question, which is, what are you steeped in, Jade? Because you've obviously bringing a worldview to this that's either from your own cultural or philosophical background or something.
I think it's the intersection of like queer culture and then like my heritage is kind of very sort of working class north of England kind of socialist vibe. So like old school socialism combined with queer culture, just being like, can't we just have spaces that are great and that are empowering and that are available to people? So like, yeah, I think you asked before, like it operates within capitalism, like it works within capitalism, right? We're not trying to tear the system down because I don't have that power. But
I am on the lookout for the person. If you have the power to tear down capitalism, please text.
And come visit the Coots Workshop too.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like most community things, it would work better outside of capitalism, like if that were an option. Mm. What are we trying to do right now? We're trying to figure out how to raise money because we've got to placate the capitalist gods by buying tools and things. Mm-hmm. And the same with like, how do we meet our ongoing costs? Mm. Like, those are things that we have strategies for, but we don't need to have those strategies if we were in a different system, perhaps, or if we just got given a huge amount of money.
By ACC, which owes Cahoots Workshop money.
At least a couple of hundred thousand.
Mm. Cool. That's really cool. Hey, oh my God, did you say the north of England?
Yeah.
Oh my God, let's just go out to a song and we will end up having to cut the song short, but we can do it. It's called Pride by Grace Petrie, or maybe it's pronounced Petrie, who's a northern English like butch singer, and the lyrics again are like about cool stuff. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks for coming on the show, Jade. It's been really great.
It has been a lot of fun. Thanks,
Debbie.
Well, we're a long way from the Stonewall Inn. I'm standing on this platform, no one's stopping me to sing, but there's a multitude of...
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.